and welcome to the next 100 Days podcast. My name is Graham Arrowsmith.
And my name's Kevin Appleby. Well, Graham, now, we're all individuals when it comes to what we do and what we need. Now, sometimes the product on the shelf that's meant for Mr. Average is not for you because you're not Mr. Average. So today, we're looking at bespoke mortgages and financial solutions.
We are, but none of us especially, are average. Yeah, well, they're for people who, shall we say, wealthy, affluent people. I was very fortunate to come across this young lady who got in touch with me a little while ago, and she's making waves, and she's going to tell us a little bit more about how she's going to present herself to the world a little bit later. But I'd like to welcome Chanel Aristide.
Perfect.
That's how about correct. That? I could have got that wrong, Chanel. So, welcome. And welcome to the next 100 Days podcast.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate you having me on the show. Yeah. So thank you. Yeah. So Mayfair Mortgage Co. That's who we are. And a little bit about us is we're a boutique client first mortgage company. Consultancy and protection consultancy. Yeah. And we support everybody from, we do actually still support people from first time buyers, international, investors and developers. So, we cover all bases. Very much we like to look at sort of more specialist and bespoke products as well that we provide for the sort of high net worth individuals.
So if somebody came along, Chanel, to you and they hadn't got to rub together sort of thing, you'd say, just wander down the road. We don't want you here. Is that basically, in other words, you don't make the cut. I mean, Kevin will get in, but Graham, forget it, lad. Forget it. But presumably, you attract the right kind of people for your services.
Yes, absolutely. I've got to also work within real estate as a real estate consultant as well. So we have that kind of balance as well with the high net worth individuals coming through that way as well.
Yeah. No, your website says. High net worth and ultra high net worth individuals often have complex financial arrangements, which can make securing a mortgage through standard routes challenging. Now, what actually is the problem here? Because I would have thought they're the very people that borrowers were really wanting to give money to.
You'd think that, and it is the case when you go through the specialist lenders that we've facilitate. But indeed the high net worth individual may have more complex financial investments. They may have investments abroad in various different areas. So of course it's pulling all that information together, creating a good case to then provide to the lenders to say, here we are. These people can still benefit from the finance products that they provide, because it's really still important to be able to collate all of that info, get all the right information together, and lenders can still be quite strict about that, even if those high net worth individuals do have an abundance of finance. A lot of the time these mortgages are sometimes held within sort of interest only products and things like that. So it there can be quite a lot of different challenges involved with delivering the best picture and the right information. And that's what we do.
So when it comes to these high net worth individuals and ultra high net worth individuals, then what's important is presumably a relationship that first of all, they like you, and then they basically, and then before long, you show them that you know your stuff. And that's going to be really important. But first of all, I would imagine they've got to like you.
Yes, and building relationships and client relationships is the most important thing. From my perspective, I always provide the service that's honest, upfront, very much speed, and being very efficient is very important. And just engaging on a personal level, which is... very much what I like to try and do as well.
And I have noticed from your website, and I was really delighted to see it. It's I'm going to have to take issue with you though. So in the wrong position, but towards the bottom of your page, you have something called the Diva mortgage and property report. Tell us about that.
So that's just about to be launched, first edition tomorrow. So that's
Wow.
yes. So
Yes.
the first edition will be launched tomorrow, and we'll be looking at various different insights, lots of information. It's basically I've got a background. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. So my background was a performance and PR and marketing. I got very interested in interior design and property from that perspective in the early days. And then I've now, come into finance, working within that area, and I've always loved property. So that's where I became, was real estate consultant in the first instance. And I now also offer mortgage and consultancy as well. And so it From one perspective, it was like, well, I say that I do that, because I am multifaceted, which is unusual in this industry. Pulling all of that together and delivering myself as the unique presentation in this sort of diva aspect
Yes.
is what I'm going pr presenting at this stage.
And you're gonna have to tell us, because when we spoke, Diva came up, and one of the things about this is that you're a remarkable singer.
I do sing, yes. So I
Yeah.
do.
Well, no, I don't mean in the bath or in the shower, Chanel. You did it as a living, and you know, so but you have a beautiful voice. I mean, I've heard recordings, and I
Thank
mean,
you.
you are a diva, but and I think it's a perfect positioning for you, and I just think that this deserves to be right on the top of your webpage, because I think this positions you in a particular way, which is all about you. They're buying you, they're buying the
Yes.
diva mortgage and property girl. I mean, at the end of the day, they're then you've got the relationship.
Yes, absolutely.
But I love what you've done with the report. I've got a little snippet. I think what some of the things that you mentioned. Just tell us a little bit about the report, because the diva thing, you've bled into this report. Tell us a bit more about that, because it sounds brilliant.
The concept of pulling in soul music is one of my favorite types of music. I mean, I love all music, to be fair. There's not many things I don't like, but soul music especially. So I thought, well, let's bring in a little bit of color into that. Actually, in a conversation that we had, actually, Graham, didn't we, a couple of months ago, it was very much something that I sort of brought forward, and you sort of said, yes, that sounds fantastic, excellent. And it's nice to actually pull all of those parts of my offering into one place. And so within the Diva report, it's trying to bring in a little bit more fun, a little bit more fun in fun to finance, but still maintaining, the strategic analysis and understanding, so there was
Yeah.
The professionalism, but
Yeah.
it's just to try and deliver a slightly different angle
Yeah.
into
Because you're not IBM, and you never will be. And I mean, you are you. That's why people buy you. And I think the fact that you've got all this professionalism, but you've also got this brilliant ability to sing a note that not Kevin couldn't do that. I can, if I'm down at Elland Road supporting Leeds United, I'm perfect. You know, I've got a perfect pitch.
It's
But
perfect for the
you,
other 50,000 in the crowd. Yes,
yeah,
Graham.
well, not quite yet, but soon it will be. But I get the point. You, on the other hand, can sing soul music and make you cry with it. I mean, you have a particular voice which makes you the diva. I mean, first of all, I mean, your name is sounds like it's the it's a name to be reckoned with. But the thing is, haven't you put in sections relating to song titles?
I have indeed, yes.
Tell us a couple of those then.
So, for instance, we've got sort of the market insights are around I'm coming out, and looking at. So obviously, I actually appeared on ITV performing in the sort of style of Diana Ross a few years ago, and that element, I thought, let's bring that element into the Diva report, you know. And so that particular song sprung to mind with "I'm Coming Out," and then that will be the market insights, for example. And so then there's sort of other sections within the report, where you will find sort of buyer's questions, and they sort of start with the song title, "How Will I Know?" So then we'll have the buyer's questions off the back of that. And then "Ain't No Mountain High Enough," we'll be looking at client success stories and various different things like that. And there's a few other secrets.
No, you don't have to
I
give them all.
won't
You
give
can't
it
give it
all
all
away,
away.
because I want you to actually all go and have a little look
No,
and
well, remember that your report will be out before this podcast is going to be out. So basically, but then of course they'll be able to find it readily. So, but
yeah,
the beauty
absolutely.
of that is that you're blending entertainment with, well, frankly, fairly dry things. I mean, if anybody took a look at you, Janelle. And you said, "Well, I'm a mortgage and property advisor," and they're going to say, "In what world's that then?" And because you don't look like one, first of all, but you are, and you're very skilled, but you're bringing in this other side of you, this singing side, this entertainer side, and you're blending that. Now, I think what that's going to do is going to bring you clients. I think not only that, it's going to entertain your clients, it's going to make you special. And all these other kind of like boring alternatives to you, and there'll be plenty of them, where before long they'll be, "Oh, we're gonna have to do this as well. Who have we got who can sing? Alice?" And it'll be like, it'll be that kind of thing. So I think you're ahead by a long way. But I mean, tell me to shut up, but I think you are the diva.
Thank you very much. Yes, well, that's what I'm bringing to this, to the financial world. Bringing a little bit more sass and confidence. So, finance can be a bit intimidating to some people. And I think this is hopefully going to help people sort of see a bit more of a fun side, and still be able to get, the professionalism, exactly what they require, because I really do believe in sort of, wealth creation and property access to be inclusive for all as well. And so, yeah, I'm hoping that this report and the start of this will have a look at the insights, and then, of course, come meet me, have a conversation. We can chat about what their needs and requirements are.
Good. Well, I mean, I have to say, I think you're onto something here. I personally, I'm all about marketing. So basically, I think you've got a wonderful positioning here, and that should be in your hero section, with a wonderful picture of you in there. But I know that you've got a designer who's obviously an accountant. So basically, I think. Sack him or her off and get somebody who's going to do a good job for you. But anyway, by that, so I hope the person's listening, by the way. But since Kevin, what do you think to this idea of blending the sort of personal things with these corporate type things?
I think it's the right way to go. And I think back at, so I've had several mortgages and financial products over the years. And how did that all start? Well, it was a friend of mine, Selwyn, who was a manager of a clothing factory in North Yorkshire back in the days when Marks and Spencers manufactured everything in the UK. And Selwyn lost his job because the factory moved overseas. And he retrained as a financial advisor. And when he was training as a financial advisor, he kind of said to me, "Kevin, I've got to find some guinea pigs to try my new skills out on. Now, you're a chartered accountant. Can I come along and see if I can give you any financial advice?" I said, "Of course you can, Selwyn." So Selwyn managed to sell me a life insurance policy on that particular occasion. But from then on, I think Selwyn arranged me two or three different mortgages, and then he's arranged them for the kids. And so on. And actually, I needed to do something financially last year. And I was really disappointed when I found out Excel is a couple of years older than me. that Selwyn had given up his various licenses with the FCA, and so he did recommend me to somebody else to do what I needed to do. But this thing is all about relationships all the way through. And where does that relationship start? It starts right there at the beginning. What's on the website? I mean, my relationship with Selwyn started before he was giving me any sort of advice. And I think, this sort of thing is, it's back under the no, like a trust thing. It's very, very important.
Absolutely. I mean, it's very much, I think engaging in personality and not just and understanding individuals and in what individuals need, because we are all unique, and the conditions and the cases and the properties and everything, they're all unique, and they're also very important to each individual, and very heartfelt in what their requirements are, and they need that opportunity to have that kind of support with, where I'm very very understanding, and Mayfair Mortgage Co are very understanding on those particular things.
Yeah.
I think, sorry, Kevin.
One thing I noticed on your website, actually, Chanel, that it's one of the things that Selwyn sorted me out with quite a number of years ago when we moved in the present house. It was technically a self-build, and we had to go through the process of getting a self-build mortgage. Now, that's not a particularly normal process, and there it is loud and clear on your website. These days, what are the complexities around getting a hold of one of those?
Well, I mean, when I say, I wouldn't say about the complex, I'll say a positive actually, rather than a complexity. Only that we have actually got there's some really nice opportunities at the moment around sort of green finance. There's opportunities to be had around self-build, utilizing green finance, where you can actually save on costs if you're sort of using solar panels and various different green-based materials. So therefore, you'll actually be being able to recover some of those costs if you're able to deliver on some of these sort of green mortgages. So green, in fact, there's actually a bit of information about that that's going to be within the DEVA report. So that will be a bit of information to review.
Those are all issues that 25 years ago when we did it, nobody
So
was talking about.
yeah, so that's something.
Complexity of how do you get a mortgage that so you can pay the builder in installments, and the complexities were around the completion certificates for bits of the work, and oh, we had countless arguments about that. The builder asking to be paid, and the building society saying no way.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting development finance. I mean, I had a case recently where the requirement was bridging and development finance, that the turnaround was required within sort of 9 days, and we've managed to deliver that, and that was a 1.8 million facility. So that was delivered within that very short time frame that we had to turn that around, and that also is the relationships that you have with the lenders and those relationships that have built up with them, and being able to get things turned around quickly. So that's definitely
In what
another.
sort of situation, Chanel? I know you're talking mostly within your client base about the affluent, high net worth people, but that self-build situation, you've got to take the mortgage out, you get the property built, you get the mortgage in portions to pay the builder, but you've got to be living somewhere else in the meantime. Is it normal these days to manage to get reasonable terms on bridging finance to sort out that situation?
They're at the currently at the moment that things are have been quite improved, and there are good actually, in fact, there's some really good rates at the moment in regard to bridging finance, which we can explore, and the actual structure in this particular case was actually quite complex as well, because he was looking at property that had planning that, and then needing bridging finance, but also needing to then go back to planning to convert it into 19 apartments. So we were talking about quite a unique sort of set up there. And again, it's the lenders that you and your relationships that you have with them, and those conversations you can sort of talk to them directly and say, right, this is what we need to do, and really sort of they can really understand those products to get you the best the opportunity for to bring to your client.
I certainly remember that relationship with my advisor, Selwyn. It often started with the conversation that says, "Selwyn, want to do this? Who do we need to talk to?" And Selwyn would say, "Ooh, I've looked at that for a while, Kevin. I'll go and do some research." And he'd come back being independent and say, "Oh, there's half a dozen building societies here we perhaps ought to talk to."
I mean, it's good to be whole market, which is exactly what Mayfair Mortgage Co are as well. So we explore the whole market.
So that
And
means you
it's
have to have relationships with those lenders. And
yes, but we do seek, we really do look at what is the requirement from the client, and then we'll make sure that we build into that and make sure we find what their requirements
So
meets their
I know
requirements.
with a lot of the lenders that you've got on the site include, like Skipton and Barclays, TSB, etc. They're kind of very mainstream. There
Yes.
are other specifically high net worth orientated lenders, particularly when it comes to things like insurance, but I don't know if you specifically cover insurance. But I mean, some of those are not featured here necessarily. Would you also have other people that you would, who'd be able to help?
Absolutely. Yeah, including sort of Coutts and Co and various different sort of high-end lenders, private banks. They're very much in our remit. And sorry, it's Graham.
Well, no, I was good. It's it. But one of the things that they do, it this is through a bit of experience working with somebody in that market, was that it is a lot about relationships.
Yeah.
They'll have a panel of maybe 15 or so of these types of people, and then they would effectively go and try and source the right kind of policy for a particular person who wants to insure a mansion or whatever it is that they have. And effectively, that's what their business model was about. You're slightly wider because obviously you've got mortgages, protection, or you've got other types of products. But sometimes these are quite specialist areas of these companies. I mean, these are you'd call them mainstream lenders, but presumably you have to talk to very specific areas of their companies.
Absolutely. We're looking more at the sort of the private bank areas, banking areas in for those particular clientele.
So you're always in some sort of pub in the center of the city somewhere, with a glass of something in your hand, and you're talking to somebody and buttering them up. Is that the approach?
I mean, I'm very much actively do network as part of my real estate arm as well. Obviously, there's a lot of socializing aspects and meeting people that does happen on both sides. So yes, I'm very much around and about town.
And when it and do you often break out into song? I mean, because
Sometimes, absolutely.
oh wow,
It's
well, yeah,
nice.
it depends how many drinks you've had, I suppose, doesn't it, really? But
Well, I've been asked without having had any drinks,
oh
and
right,
so
okay.
it does happen.
What's your go-to then? We're itching to know. What I mean, okay, so if you had to sing a song to an audience, let's just say you're a networking meeting, and the crowd's spreading. And you're right in the center, and the lights are right on you, and nobody else, everybody else is in dark, and they're all thinking, what on earth is she going to sing?
Oh, that's a good question. And it's funny, the song that just popped into my head.
I was
You to me are
expecting.
everything. I'm just trying to remember the actual, but you to me are everything, a sweeter song I can sing, oh baby. Now that, just because lots and lots of people tend to just automatically get up and start dancing at that
Dancer.
one. They do, it's a winner.
Wow. I mean, I think this is a first, Chanel. We've been recording this for, I don't know, 485 or so probably a few more podcasts, and no one has sung so far. Am I wrong, Kevin?
I think you're absolutely right. I can't remember
I don't think we had a
on
single person
podcast.
who's broken out into song, which is why I wanted you
Oh,
on the podcast, because I knew you would at some stage.
no.
But Chanel, that was wonderful, and you know that was spontaneous as well. So, in your past, then you did a little bit of work singing. Yeah, tell us, was it an interesting experience?
Oh, I love singing. It's something, it's good for the soul. I mean, it's something I'll never stop. It's something that I do. I love singing and songwriting. It's something that appeals to me. I think everybody should sing. No
Yeah.
matter what you do, no matter what job you do, I think it's, as I say, good for the soul.
So are we gonna hear the next song you're gonna be is, you know, the next 100 days or something associated with the podcast that you were on? I think that would be good. I think we should have a song written about us, Kevin.
Well, that's it. We need a new piece of introductory music, don't we? It'd be
We
nice.
need a
We
little
do.
jingle. Yeah,
Oh.
we do. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, maybe what we should do for this one is get Chanel to sort of sing something that we can use as the front part of the wow, that's a really good idea. I'm sorry, I'm talking to myself here, but you know, so, but I no, I honestly, I
Like a plan. Let's do
it
it.
just we probably can't afford your fees, but well, I know we can't afford your fees, but no, seriously, I mean, you've done that, you still do a little bit of that, but
Yeah, only
you've
to touch it to keep, as I say, it keeps the soul. It's a fantastic thing to do. Again, a lot of sort of private functions. It was very much sort of very private events and that kind of thing.
I mean, the really wealthy high net worths, you want to call them ultra, then fine. But the ones who've really made it in life, and often this isn't often. I mean, people usually got it wrong about ultra high net worths. They haven't been handed this, not in the main. They've made it. So you know, you look at the likes of Musk and so forth, and you know, you. The ones who are seriously wealthy have made it themselves, so but these people, they'll have certain characteristics, but I think they would warm so much to you because you're different.
Thank you.
No, I do. I think that's because it's a bit like, yes, she, you know, mortgage, all that kind of stuff, she can sort all of that, but you'll love her. And I think that kind of, you've almost got a Renaissance woman approach, and I'm going to call him Renaissance man, but you know, you're a woman. So basically, an ace, you in which in this idea of being able to do lots of things well. And I think that is I don't know if there's that many people out there that can do that. I mean, you're obviously expert at mortgages and protection and all that kind of stuff. And like Kevin said, you know, you understand that. You've got great relationships. You can sing. You've entertained, you've done all kinds of different things. You know, is there no end to your talent?
Well, I think the thing is in life, I think it's I feel quite blessed that I've had the opportunity to do different things. But I think the thing in life is it's amazing and things. I think doing learning all the time in life is a brilliant thing.
Yeah.
So and turning your hand to anything is good.
Yeah.
I've always had an interest in finance. I was actually really good at school, but then I kind of just went off to the singing path for a while, and life's kind of brought me back round into it again. And I've always loved property, and
Yeah.
so I've got the opportunity to be working in both, whilst with what the performance side of things, it's a joy to sort of sing and perform for people and put a smile on their face, and it's the same thing I get that same kind of feeling I get with helping people with getting finance for developments or for their new home. So.
And a lot of the work that you're doing, especially within this report, which can't wait to see the first issue, well, first of all, it's aimed at a particular geography, isn't it? Tell us more. Yeah, I mean, you're limiting it to, or I think you limit it to mainly in the south south part of London, as that was the plan originally, but I don't know if it's changed any.
It's well, because I do also deal with the main sort of focus on the with regards to the information is UK based and in the first edition. But of course, because I also do assist international clients, expats as well. So I think as the editions go on, in particular the spotlight area, on that page, there'll be sort of bits of insight, different bits of information that may filter in on that page along the way.
You'll have to open a, an office in Dubai, because basically a lot of the high net worths have cleared off there.
Yeah, this is true.
It's is it something like 10 to 15,000 of them? I don't know what this government's playing at. I mean, I'd sack them tomorrow if I had a chance. If I had a magic wand, they'd be gone tomorrow. The world would be, well, certainly most of the country would be cheering. But I've never known a government so unpopular. You know, you ask me, well, I could see it coming, but I don't know about you, Kevin, but you're probably
But
more sanguine about these things.
if that's a real statistic, Graham, the 15,000 high net worths have gone off to Dubai in the last 12 months. That is
Well, other parts of the world, but Dubai is one of the main things. But it is, and it's one of our previous guests, Rob Moore, he talks about this quite extensively in his posts and on his podcast, etc. And basically, there's a lot of there's a lot of worry about that, because basically these guys were shelling in money to the exchequer, and for them to make it so such a difficult place for people to live, and of course it's going to filter down. They will not stop from taking your money, and so I don't know. I think we have to do something about it, and then other things that are happening because of the government. But sorry, we're going off at a
Well, but
slight
I mean,
tangent.
in sort of reflection in regards to that, and something obviously, as I say, as well as mortgages, I offer real estate consultancy as well. And again, that's worldwide. And so for those high net worth individuals that are actually looking to exit, I can also assist them with that opportunity and those sort of links. So, yes, it is a bit of a sorry state of affairs in regards to that. But in regards to sort of developments, on that side of things, and development finance, I mean, there are a few blockers because of this Gateway 2 and Gateway 3, which is causing a bit of havoc, in the construction industry and developments, overall, the backlog, which is a bit of a shame. But there's still lots of opportunity, because there's still a housing crisis. There's still people that need a home, and will need homes. So there's still a lot of opportunity there, especially for the ends for the buy to let.
That's a question. Housing crisis. And is that something that's real outside of London? Because now I look around the northeast of England. There are houses being built absolutely everywhere. Greenfield being built on. Seems to be absolutely no shortage at all of new development. Yet, I hear on the radio, housing crisis, we're not building enough houses. Is that a UK problem or is it just a London problem?
I think it's I mean, obviously London, there's a lot of restrictions, less space in lots of ways, but the actual restrictions are also coming from this Gateway 2 and Gateway 3 restrictions to do with sort of and that's actually stopping. It basically the development side of things and the construction side of things are sort of slowed down because where the applications are 100, say the government are only processing 50, just for example, hypothetically, and so therefore it's slowing the process down for the building. So where it look so some places have sort of start the developers have started building and they're now stuck in this process. So where things aren't getting turned over quick enough, and I think that's quite bit of a concern because that's just slowing everything down. So where the properties need to be flying up sooner, they aren't being able to. So it is causing delays.
Well, maybe we could put people up in hotel Oh no, hold on a minute. No, there's no space in hotels anymore, is it? No, I sorry, I'm not jesting. I'm frustrated, but a, like a lot of people, with the way in which the government has manufactured a crisis for us. But having said, and they'll blame it on the previous government, but you know, I'd tar them all with the same brush. From my point of view, you on the other hand are doing your level best to stay calm, and you know, your skills with all of these mortgages and financial solutions and real estate. I mean, you're still young, and so I know you have a family as well, don't you? So basically, you've got a full, I don't know what I'm going to say, 25 years or so before you have to think about giving it all up, unless of course the government make you work until 80 by the time you get there. So that'll extend it.
That's
But
possible.
yeah, it's possible. You'll be still knocking out the sort of Diana Ross's song when you're sort of 75. You don't worry about
There's an interesting question, Graham. You
it.
could be expecting us to work later, but the AI will have taken all the jobs.
Well, there's some irony in that. But you, now, you, how do you see that future of yours? Is it something that you've thought about? Because I mean, this is something that you're obviously passionate about. You're developing. Love the Diva report. Think it's going to be fantastic for you. Where do you see yourself in another 5 years?
5 years' time. That's a good question. Well, I mean, ultimately, things are changing. AI is moving forward. You just have to embrace it. That's the thing. You have to be the master of those tools. I think that's the important thing to do. I can see why everyone's being a bit scared of it. It's change, it's new. And I must admit, initially I was thinking probably similarly, but at the moment now I see the opportunities, and I think that it's a case of not being scared of them and embracing the opportunity where you can, especially those people whose jobs might be affected. Then, it's time to reskill, retrain, just like as I've done in different things, different feats. It's doing that.
Well, what a lovely positive answer to wrap us up with, Chanel. You've been an absolutely wonderful guest on the Next 100 Days podcast. Thank you.
So, Graham, we've recorded two podcasts together, and a theme that's come out of both of them to me is that relationships are very, very important. And whether it's coaching sort of advice or it's financial advice you want, there's got to be a chemistry between you and the individual you're working with.
Yeah, really. It's nice that you've drawn that comparison from today's. I mean, just for those people listening, we do sometimes batch together the podcasts, and so yeah, the relationships. It seems obvious though, doesn't it? But it is so true that and the thing that struck me when I first met Chanel was the if you like, the core of her soul was singing, was entertaining, and the bits around it was this level of knowledge that was really good, but a soul, she's a diva, you know. And we sort of discussed that. It sort of led to the idea of the report, and I have a view about what it should be. It's a great technique, you know. And this isn't just about the Diva report. This is about building a sort of a report for your market. And her market are those people looking for real estate, mortgages, financial solutions, etc. So those people who effectively take that report and are entertained by it by having soul songs as sort of like almost like headings in the report. Brilliant, brilliant, because it talks to her as a diva. So I love the fact that she's doing that. If you think about, and let's, you know, one of the early kind of consumer type reports was for carpet cleaning, you know, and you can build a consumer report for carpet cleaning. You could build a consumer report for I don't know, something to do with finance. So, but the whole idea of it is that it's a great way to capture the people who could be and will be interested in your businesses. So I think that's where she's really getting it right. That's why I think critically that one of the things that she should do with her designer is to say, just redesign it so that the report, which is core to her, goes right at the top, not some picture of London. I think it's all about her. It's all about her ability to, for her to deliver this report that shows her skills, that entertains people, that's worth taking compared to the thousand other companies who do the same thing.
Very much so. Yes, I think the power of those sorts of reports, I think, is tremendous.
Very much.
Now, there's a debate there. Should you be giving that away free and establishing your authority, or should you be putting it there and making people give you an email address for it? And it's funny, just earlier today, I had that discussion with our marketing team on a series of reports I've been putting together. And it's a very interesting debate to be had.
The meeting prior to this one that I told you I was in was exactly the same thing. It will be a report. You know what it's going to be about. We'll talk about it in another podcast another day. But it was a question of how much is that worth? Now,
Yes.
I have a view that the nominal rate would be relative. It's potentially very, very valuable. Some other people think maybe almost 10 times what I'm saying for that report. And I'm like, no, don't go out of the way of making it hard for people to say yes, even though it's for corporates. Keep it at a level that somebody doesn't have to think about it, that it's petty cash, that it's because then the hard work will be implementing the report. Now we'll talk about this another time, but I can promise you the report we're talking about will be very, very helpful to people, to businesses. But there is a debate, and there's always a debate. Do you do it? And what you want is you want people to sort of put their hand up to say, I am interested in you and in that report. And the whole idea of it is if you make it compelling enough, with the you give them almost like a taster. This is what's in the report. This is the sort of s executive summary. Very high level view. Now, do you want the beef? So I think what in the case if looking at Chanel, what she's got there is potentially a report where she can talk about some of the services, some of maybe the properties that are on for sale, etc. Just to give people an idea of how she can help them get into the right properties in Dubai or in London or in Surrey or wherever. And I think that is basically what her report will ultimately be about. And I love the fact that she's making it about her skills. So that is something that I think she should look forward to with glee because I think she'll be different. And I think in this market, you need to be different.
And I still think that free versus paid comes down to you give away the what you need to do, you charge for the how you do it.
Couldn't agree more, and that's definitely the approach we're taking. But there are other people with a different agenda in terms of just the way in which they want to use the report to generate a bigger, I don't know, a more strategic sale. And I understand that. It's just we're all different. And on that bombshell note, I've been Graham Arrowsmith.
I've been Kevin Appleby. Goodbye.
Goodbye.